Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Oh, folks, I pulled off my first fully vine-ripened tomato this morning off the vines in the backyard.
Was it delightful?
It was. Honestly, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Did you do it in 6 seconds?
Are you used to buying like nice organic vine-ripened stuff from the store? Because if so, it's not going to be that much different.
I mean, it was a beefsteak tomato, first of all, right? But even though I grew it myself, it's not like the heirloom delicious tomatoes. Yeah. And it was flavorful. It wasn't like the beefsteak tomatoes you get at the store that are just super bland. But I thought it was going to be like sweet.
Mind-blowing.
And rich.
It wasn't. Yeah. It was fine, though. I chopped it up, put it in a salad. Tasted great.
What did you use any special fertilizer, like Miracle-Gro or nothing?
No. I didn't. Can you hold on for a second? I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. I think he should compost all the produce he doesn't
Doggy
use.
Mutiny.
Use it as mulch.
Yep, they're taking over. Tomatoes.
Remember, what's the little oblong tomato? The Roma tomatoes?
Mm-hmm.
I remember they used to advertise that, like you could buy the seeds at the back of Popular Science or Popular Mechanics. They would.
Oh, really?
And the whole ad was, grow tomatoes at home. Like inside, you could grow it in a potted plant, it would grow, and you could eat tomatoes.
In the right conditions, you can do that.
But I've always wondered, because, you know, plants use sunlight to power everything, but they still need nutrients and minerals in order to, you know, fashion the fruit. So it's like, you got to be really careful, because you don't want to put just anything.
I feel like
it's more like greenhouse situation, rather than like, there's a tomato growing in my living room.
Exactly.
You know.
Please don't smoke, because I won't eat those later.
Oh, God. I think the Roma tomatoes are they've never been my favorite, but I think they're supposedly best for, like, pasta sauces.
That's they're a little bit on the...
Like, better for something like that, where it's... I actually don't know if what I'm saying is true.
I don't
Somebody told me that I've once, heard, and I just went with
it. I've heard that, too.
I just get the tomatoes you get at the supermarket. They're still on the vine.
Me too. And I do a sniff and I go, these smell great. And then I eat them.
Right there. You just walk out. I didn't buy anything. See it.
I just eat them in the store. It's always an issue.
I want to do a garden, but I'm always afraid I'm going to come out there and everything's going to be gone because all the critters are going to take out. Because it's rightfully their food, right?
Is it? Mm-hmm. Why is it rightfully theirs?
Well, because it's, you know.
Outside?
They're like, hey, somebody left me this food. I'm going to chomp on it.
It's like it's like me finding their nest and say, oh, look, someone left me some eggs.
Hey,
you'd
they
have
were
to
here
put
first.
A fence type thing around it.
Yeah,
I've thought the same thing about where I live because there are a lot of flowers and like foliage and it's really well manicured and landscaped. But there's a lemon tree and there's a cherry tree, but it's not like an abundance of vegetables or, you know, otherwise edible stuff. I've thought about putting together something in kind of this little area where there's just a bunch of ivy anyway. And then I'm like, no, man. I mean, of all the animals that I know are around here because they get in people's garbages, they would just eat my vegetable garden.
Well, you have to put the little chicken.
Which I don't even know if I have like that big of a problem with that. I'd be like, feeding the raccoons my wonderful zucchinis.
No, they won't go away.
Do you value the raccoons or the zucchinis?
That's true.
Yeah. Raccoons are, once you feed them, they are there for life.
Even if you don't, they'll be just, wait for you to throw something away. My mom grew some zucchinis in her yard recently, and she quickly was like, I'm pretty sick of zucchini. You want some zucchinis? They were really good. Just like
a friend of mine
fresh
just
and yummy.
Had a friend of mine just who's in Colorado. She's a plant-based diet person on YouTube. She just had a bounty, I guess, a harvest of so much zucchini that she doesn't or squash or something. I think one of those, either squash or zucchini. She doesn't know what to do with. Yeah, it's just like a crazy amount grew this year, and I looked at it, I was like, man, you can send me some because I'll eat it if it's. I will never buy it if someone gives it to me. I'll eat it. But
sure.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was not a big squash person, and it wasn't because I didn't like the taste. I just kind of didn't know how to cook with it. I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing.
Like, that would
be my I just always felt like I would make zucchini. I'd be like, it's kind of mushy. I was just doing it wrong.
Have you ever had a grilled? Because that's the only way I eat it is when it's.
Oh, yeah. It's so good that way. Yeah.
Zucchini bread. That's the
Oh, good. We're still on vegetables. I didn't miss anything.
I
thought the zucchinis are a fruit. Aren't they? Because they have seeds? No.
Sorry, the roofers came.
They don't really have seeds.
Gotcha.
That's like a cucumber.
Well, it's a squash.
Yeah. I mean, some squashes have fruit. Seeds.
Yeah, pumpkins have seeds.
There you go. Well,
pumpkins are fruits. I mean, although in a culinary sense,
I would never just bite in and eat a pumpkin. I don't like pumpkin at all.
Not even.
Well, you don't get like the big orange ones. You get the little small ones. Not the ones you make jack o' lanterns out of.
It's definitely a cultural thing. Like, and not to make it a racial thing, but like when, like growing up. It was sweet potato pie versus pumpkin pie. And I noticed more of my Caucasian friends enjoy the pumpkin pie. It was just cultural.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Like,
Yeah.
I didn't have pumpkin pie until after high school. I grew up eating a lot of red bean cake.
My grandparents on my mother's side were pumpkin pie people for sure. But my grandma on my father's side, who were a little more rural, they were on the sweet potato side.
They were. Okay. Yeah. And I know they don't taste, I mean, that much. They look alike, actually.
Yeah.
They don't taste that much different, but I
can use enough sugar. They taste exactly the same.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know I've had sweet potato pie in my life, but I don't, I don't remember thinking it was better or worse than pumpkin.
Yeah.
Now I have to try it.
Have you tried ube pie?
I don't think so. What is it?
Ube is that purplish yam.
Oh yeah, like
you find that they
I know the yam, but I don't think I've had that in a pie.
It's pretty good. It's actually really good.
Pumpkin pie is just
Maybe I just need to have a good one to change. I'm open to change my mind. I've tasted it and it's just been very bland, and I guess because I was always just raised up with this grandma making sweet potato pie.
So right.
It's really hard to kind transition.
Of set your palate.
Yeah, especially when they look alike.
And pumpkin pie can be, I mean, I wouldn't call it bland, but if it's not heavily sweetened, it's not that sweet.
Certain pumpkin pies are better pumpkin pies than others.
Anything on earth.
Yeah. I mean, I never turned down a pumpkin pie. I don't, the worst pumpkin pie I still enjoy, but there are pumpkin pies where I'm like, oh yeah, no, that they got it right. That,
yeah.
I will turn away pumpkin pie if it doesn't.
Will you? Yeah. Now, what about someone in the chat mentioned pecan pie? That's so rich though. It's so I cannot eat a whole one or I'm done.
I will eat a whole one, but I shouldn't. There have been
Thanksgiving nights where there's pumpkin pie and there's pecan pie, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna have some of both because I'm not gonna turn down pie, and then I feel
really
regretful.
Sick.
Yeah.
Because pecan is like, if it's not just a little sliver, it's so sweet.
It's so, yes.
But if you have just a little sliver, you're like, well, I want a real piece. I want like a normal size piece. And then
I'm healthy. I want to be borderline diabetic. Give me a big slice.
Right. You don't get diabetic from sugar. Stop that. All right. What about lemon meringue pie? That's my probably my favorite pie.
Really? That's down for me.
Meringue is one of those things that is a nice addition, but if your pie relies on it, I don't.
Claim jumper in the frozen aisle. Lemon meringue. I'm telling you.
Nice. Yeah, I've never been a claim jumper. Yeah.
I've never been to the restaurant, but their frozen pies are
that's
amazing.
Oh, I did not know what you were talking about. There's a brand called Claim Jumper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a restaurant.
Remember back on the Screensavers?
It's like a steakhouse kind of place.
Oh, I mean, where have I been? Claim Jumper sounds to me like Base Jumper. Like, oh,
no. It's an adventure sport. Claim Jumper is a guy or a person who would jump on someone else's claim, like gold, like the area.
It's a gold country reference.
Yeah, that in the gold country when they're mining, someone would take your plot of land that you were mining for gold.
In the grand tradition of naming your restaurant after some Western American motif.
Tom, would you say Claim Jumper is similar to Baker Square? I know you know Baker Square from the Midwest, right?
Claim Jumper is a little more on the Ponderosa Bonanza side than the Baker
Square. Oh, so they do more steak stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Man, I miss Baker Square. They had the best pies.
Yeah, I love their
Murray Callender's in Baker Square. I kind of keep in the same category.
Joe Biden named his vice president.
And if you've been listening to Politics, Politics, Politics with Justin Robert Young, you are not shocked at all.
Is this pretty much what everyone predicted?
That's all I'm going to say because this isn't a political show. Yeah. Just
we could say her name, right?
Yes, it's Kamala Harris.
I didn't want to steal your thought.
I mean, I'm
Joe Biden did not personally tell me first.
he called me about an hour ago. I have proof here. And he's like,
he did a direct message to you over Twitter.
Yeah, just want to let
Sarah,
you know.
Sarah, I got some news for you.
Yeah.
There's a claim jumper in Burbank.
Oh, should I go jump on it?
It's in a really business. It's in a business area. You would go past it really quickly. It looks like it's on the bottom of a corporate building. You would never see it. Driving past. Yeah.
You know, the weird thing about out in Burbank, there's a couple of places, and I think Tom knows this one. One of the Baskin Robbins is like a manager training ground, but it's an actual store too. But it's built.
Oh, yeah, you were mentioning this before. I remember that.
And it looks like an office building, but you can go into it, and it's actually one of the cleanest Baskin Robbins I've ever
been. Yeah, because it's got all the eyes on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like what the store should be. So now that is how I set my expectations for every Baskin Robbins I will now step foot into.
Well, looky there. Honestly, Lamar, I'm not even, you're going to think I'm making this up or I'm just being silly, but one of my best memories of hanging out with you is when we went to Red Lobster. That was super fun.
Why would that be making fun of him?
That's not, yeah,
you had a good time.
Yeah, well, cause you're like, really? Red Lobster was your favorite memory of me. And I, you know,
well, we haven't gone to many places. Yeah. I agree with that.
We've gotten coffee a few times, but I want to go to Claim Jumper.
Post 2020, we'll definitely
meet up at a Claim Jumper and celebrate with it. What's their pie? Their mud? They have like a mud pie.
It sounds really weird to me.
Only reason why I know what a Claim Jumper is because there was a fan of Screensavers who was also a Claim Jumper general manager, and he sent us one of their mud pies.
He has lemon pepper zucchini.
Gross.
To the show.
Is that a pie?
Lightly fried zucchini slices topped with lemon pepper parmesan served with ranch dipping sauce.
No, it's not like a pie. I thought you were saying it's a pie.
No.
Lemon pepper pie. I don't know.
Zucchini pie.
Although a lemon poppy seed pastry.
Sure.
Which is similar-ish. I guess poppies and pepper aren't really, they just look alike.
They have 7 items on their just normal entree that isn't a burger or sandwich. They're chicken pot pie, fish and chips, country fried steak, southern fried chicken, meatloaf and mashed potatoes, chicken tender, and fire grilled chicken.
On the dessert side, they have chocolate motherlode cake, carrot cake, berry butter cake, caramel pecan butter cake, and strawberry cream cheese pie.
So the motherlode cake is 6 quote-unquote decadent layers of chocolate cake and rich fudge icing topped with walnuts.
Don't even say the calories. Just don't even mention
it. Right. I mean, if you have to ask, don't order.
There's no point.
All of the calories you've ever eaten before. Yeah.
Do you want the motherlode
that I'll probably
not.
Can only go to after I've taken my annual fasting.
Could you imagine giving one of your kids a piece of that at, you know, in the evening?
No.
It's like, they're not getting any sleep.
I give my kid a bowl of ice cream after dinner and I can't get her to sleep. Like,
well, stop giving her a bowl of ice cream.
Right.
I give her a bowl of ice cream every night after dinner.
She just won't sleep.
She just won't. She refuses to sleep.
Won't.
I said, tonight, you sleep after this bowl of ice cream.
Immediately.
Well, no. I mean, literally, I give her a bowl of ice cream at like 5 and she's still up. At
every night.
Every night.
Yeah,
right. I can't say no.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Say no to a child?
My parents said no to me all the time.
Oh my gosh, that's all my parents said to me that I remember.
And this is why
that was my name actually. I changed it. It was no.
Yeah. Will I be a success someday? No.
Yeah. What about some ice cream then? Get out of here.
All right, shall we do a Daily Tech News Show?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okie doke. Here we go. Here we go in 3, 2. Coming up on DTNS, good news and bad news for Xbox fans, how computer vision, 5G, and Starlink might make your cotton t-shirts cheaper, and Lamar gives us the lowdown on whether Instagram Reels is for everyone. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Because you are.
I'm Roger Chang?
Yes. You are the producer.
Burgundy. Hey, we were just talking about pie and cake and claim jumper and all kinds of good stuff on Good Day Internet. If you want in on that fun, you got to become a member and get your Patreon on at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Well, we were off by just one day. A tease from NVIDIA on Monday implied that an announcement would come on August 31st. But Tuesday, NVIDIA announced an event at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, September 1st. Expect a new line of GeForce video cards, likely the RTYX 3000 series, and a successor to the RTX 2080.
Dell announced a new Latitude 7410 Chromebook Enterprise that can be configured as a 2-in-1. It comes with a 10th generation Intel Core i7 processor and up to 16 gigs of DDR4 RAM. Now, Dell promises up to 21 hours of battery life. No pricing or availability yet.
Got a lot of products today. Feels like CES. TCL announced a new line of mid-range 5 and 6 series 4K TVs. They run the Roku OS, support HDR10, Dolby Vision, and HLG. The 50-inch 5 series starts at $400 with a QLED screen and a 60 hertz refresh rate. And the 6 series adds mini LED backlighting to the QLED screens, starting with a 55-inch for $900.
That's such a good price.
I know.
You got to be in that Roku universe, though. More product announcements. Xiaomi announced the Mi 10 Ultra phone with 120x hybrid zoom, 50-watt wireless charging, and 120-watt wired charging. The 6.67-inch OLED phone starts at 5,299 yuan, which is about $760 for 8 gigabytes of RAM in black, silver, and transparent. Xiaomi also announced a 55-inch transparent TV, the Mi TV Lux OLED Transparent Edition. Similar to previous TVs from Samsung and LG, it looks like a piece of glass when it's turned off. It costs 9,999 yuan, or about $7,200, and coming to China on August 16th.
Buying it. So remember how it looked like Twitter had launched the option to limit replies to tweets, but then Twitter said it hadn't? Well, now it's officially launched. Look for a globe icon at the bottom of your tweet to limit who can reply.
Oh, good. The Nreal Light Mixed Reality Glasses are available now in Korea, K-O-R-E-A, for 699,000 won. That's around $586 U.S. Also bundled with a Galaxy Note 20 or LG Velvet for a little more. The Nreal glasses look like sunglasses and connect by a wire to your phone for computing. That's why they're doing the bundles. The glasses come with various nose clips, a corrective lens insert, and a VR cover to block out light and make for a clearer picture. Nreal promises support for Chrome, Facebook, and Instagram, among others, at launch. You can pre-order now with store arrival coming August 21st.
Google announced a new category of apps coming to Android Auto, starting with a Google Calendar app. Other new categories coming soon for third-party apps include parking, like Spot Hero, more EV charging options like ChargePoint, and more navigation beyond Google Maps and Waze, including Sygic. There's also an actual settings app that will run on the dashboard and give you a little bit more control of what you're doing. Calendar and settings are coming over the next month, with third-party apps coming in beta by the end of the year.
San Francisco... my lip.
What did San Francisco ever do to you?
Bite your lip.
Something bad. San Francisco Superior Court Judge Ethan Shulman issued a preliminary injunction ordering Uber and Lyft to classify their California drivers as employees. Now, the judge ruled that drivers do not perform work outside the usual course of Uber and Lyft business, pointing out drivers are central, not tangential. Okay, I haven't used that before, to the business. The injunction has stayed for 10 days to allow for both companies to appeal, which they will.
Yeah, they definitely will. Bite your tongue.
I don't want to. It really hurt.
Not again. No, please. news. We've been keeping you up to date on vaccines, even though it's a little bit outside of technology. And you may have heard Russia announced it has registered a SARS-CoV-2 vaccine from Gamaleya Institute that has not yet entered phase 3 trials. If you're like, wait a minute, I didn't hear you mention this before. It will be administered to volunteers outside of clinical trials. Phase 3 trials, as you recall, are the last stage before approval, and that phase is used to ensure safety and effectiveness. There are 5 vaccines for SARS-CoV-2 in phase 3 trials right now, one from AstraZeneca and Oxford University. That's on track, if all goes well, to gain approval in October. Vaccines both from Moderna and BioNTech Pfizer and Shanghai Fosun could see approval as early as November. So the Russian one is not approved after a phase 3 trial. It's the government saying we're going to let volunteers take it after the phase 2 trial, which some people say may or may not be dangerous. So there you go. All right, let's talk a little bit about Xbox.
Yeah, so the good news first. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscribers with an Android device can start playing games streaming from the cloud as part of Project xCloud beta that started Tuesday. You use the beta of the Game Pass app, not the Project xCloud preview app, as that one goes away September 11th. Now, the beta launches with about 30 titles of the expected 100 that will eventually be there at launch. Project xCloud officially launches on September 15th. Now, that's the good news. Also good news, hold on. Microsoft said in a blog post that it will launch the Xbox Series X in November. So now we have kind of an almost date. But here's the bad news. The official Halo account tweeted that Halo Infinite's release date will be shifted to 2021 due to multiple factors, including lockdowns caused by the virus. Now, Halo Infinite was supposed to be included at the launch of the Xbox Series X. That is unfortunate news. I mean, we obviously wanted to have a launch game with the console and, you know, and PC, but I'd rather them kind of get the game right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
We were talking about that before the show, too. Like, they went out of their way to say one of the factors was the lockdown and, yes, and the pandemic. So it sounded like there were probably some other things that they wanted to fix as well, which might have led to this being delayed anyway.
Yeah, there was a lot of blowback from the demo they showed a few weeks back. And so they could have been a factor. And I'm also mentioned in a pre-show, it could have, you know, like people are also working from home. We don't know how powerful their computers are, how long it takes to get things done. It just could just be delayed. And it's like, hey, take your time. We have a bunch of games coming out in the next few months. Like, I don't know if I would have jumped on Halo day one anyway with all the crazy AAA games coming out. So I'm like, take your time. We ain't going nowhere unless we do go somewhere.
I mean, it's not great. Halo's a popular title for an Xbox launch, so they're not loving having to delay it. But and it'll be interesting to see what the response is to the Project xCloud beta, which is, you know, has been favorably compared to Stadia, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say. And I was in the first beta. This just kind of dropped today, so I haven't had a chance to play with the one today. I got to say, and again, this is on an Android phone, and I was running on Wi-Fi to be clear. Seamless. I was playing Gears 4, I believe it was, or whatever the latest Gears was, and trying that out. Just a couple hiccups, you know. But again, for playing on my phone, that was pretty seamless. I think this, the comparison of this being like the Netflix of games, is very apt. I don't, why Stadia didn't do this is why they're not getting the kind of positive coverage that they're getting. It's not to say that Stadia is bad, because it's not. I've tried it. I also have tried it on mobile. It's a good service. It works really well. But it's the model of how you get the games is the problem.
And yeah, so you don't have to think about it with xCloud. It's just there, right?
It's just there, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Google announced the Android Earthquake Alerts System, something you would want to know is there, an attempt to use phone accelerometers to detect and then alert people of earthquakes. It's similar to an app called MyShake from the University of California at Berkeley that detects P waves from earthquakes early and then can warn users before the damaging S wave shocks reach them, at least in some cases. Usually, it's only a minute or so of heads-up warning, but sometimes that is plenty. The Google system would not rely on users installing apps, though, because it would be built into Android itself. The company is working with California's Shake Alert system. It's the same one underpinning my Shake. To combine accelerometer data with seismometers for better predictions and alerts. Pardon me. The feature will come through Google Play Services update and be on for anybody with location services on. Proactive alerts will launch first in California and come to other areas over time.
Yeah, it strikes me how similar this is to the exposure notification system that Google and Apple worked on together, which is you can have an app, but people have to go and install the app, make it part of the operating system, yeah. And suddenly you're going to get a lot more data in the system, a lot more accelerometers contributing stuff here. And of course, being in California, where we have earthquakes frequently, this is pertinent to us in particular. But there are a lot of earthquake regions around the world, Peru, Japan, and more. And you need to have the back end for this to work, right? You needed to have the system that we have in California that has actual seismometers out there so it can take the accelerometer data and pool it with the actual seismometer data for it to work. That's why it's launching first in California. But once you can get those kinds of systems up and running elsewhere or integrate into the existing ones like they have in Japan, for instance, I think we'll see this in more places. Man, it's not a lot, but man, if it's enough to get you, you know, out into a doorway or under a desk or whatever you need to do, that's good.
Yeah, could wrap up what I'm doing in the bathroom. You know, right. Not gonna say if I'm sitting there or not, you know, but I might be. Yeah, just
depends on where when you got in there. But it's a lot of people are like a minute. I mean, we need like an hour to like drive away or something. That's not possible at this point. But yeah, for anybody who's been through an earthquake that's big enough where you're like, oh, I'm pretty freaked out. You know, I want to be somewhere where something's not going to fall on me.
Yeah.
You know, or otherwise, you know, power line stuff. It would matter.
A minute could save your life for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's shift gears from saving lives to annoying podcasters, a whole different situation. GeekWire says Amazon Music and Audible have sent emails to podcasters asking them to submit their shows to a new catalog of podcasts that will be added to both services. That's good news for all of us, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Why not? Mm-hmm. One more place to, you know, get discovered.
The email that they sent to podcasters said, first of all, that the information was confidential, which that's one of my pet peeves is somebody says under embargo. And I'm like, I never agreed to the embargo. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to give you all this information, but hey, it's confidential, which is why it leaked out. It also invited podcasters to submit their show in advance of the launch of the service. Podcasters who clicked through to submit their own show found a license agreement, totally normal. You're going to have a license agreement. And some eagle-eyed podcasters noticed that the license agreement said, quote, your content may not include advertising or messages that disparage or are directed against Amazon or any service.
So any service ever?
I mean, where do I start?
Any Amazon service, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember getting this email, but you know, there may have been, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, a podcaster associated with
I got like 12 of them because I do that many podcasts. And
you're right. Who knows? Maybe I did and I just haven't seen it yet. But, you know, the whole thing of you can't disparage Amazon, that's a little silly. But if it were me, I'd be like, well, OK, but I don't. So that's fine. But then you get into some gray areas like on this show. What if we were covering a story where it was Amazon against another company and it was reported as news, but Amazon decided to take issue with the way that it was reported. Like it's just a strange thing to tell people, we really want you to be part of, you know, our new podcast universe, but with some serious restrictions.
Yeah. They need to be agnostic, just like Apple and Google and Spotify, all of them are. And just, yeah, unless they're going to pay you, you know, you get to be part of a premium tier where you get some ad sharing. I can see this kind of thing in there. And then it's up to your judgment whether you want to be part of that or not. That's still a weird situation. But at least you're getting something for it. But just to blanket tell you, you can't talk bad about them. It's really silly.
Maybe I shouldn't have said I got these emails because it was required of me to be confidential. But I did. I didn't click through on them because we have Acast. And it said in the email, you know, if you have a platform you're a part of, your platform will take care of it. So I pinged Acast. I was like, hey, you on this? They're like, yeah, we're on it. It's fine. And so I didn't think twice about it, which is why I never read the terms of service, which is why I didn't see this. I don't think Amazon is really trying to trick podcasters into never saying anything negative about them. No news service No, this show particularly would not submit to those terms. Absolutely not. We are free to say whatever evaluative statements we want to say about anybody. That is not something we would ever agree to. And even non-news shows wouldn't, because they don't want to get caught, like Sarah was saying, like, well, we don't really like what you said. Even if it wasn't disparaging, we're going to say it is. This was boilerplate stuff that was put in a terms of service without thinking. And, I fully expect Amazon will take it out immediately, right, Amazon?
I actually do have an Amazon affiliate link, so can we not say anything bad about them? Just, you know, I love you, Amazon. Anyway, let's talk about Google. Google has rolled out a new feature for search in India that lets anyone create a virtual visiting card, what you might call a calling card or business card. Now, Google calls them people cards. When you sign into Google, you search for your name or add me to search and look for the prompt add yourself to Google search. You'll be asked to verify a phone number that you can get from where you can write a description of yourself and other information like links to websites and social media, phone number, address, work, education details, email address, all optional. Now, your picture is your Google account picture, but you can change it if you want. Now, each account can only create one card, and cards can be reported for things like spam or impersonation. You can delete your own card at any time. People Cards is now available in India in English on mobile.
Yeah, so I took a little trip through my VPN to Mumbai and tried this out. You can only do it on mobile. You can only do it on your phone, but it was easy. I searched add me to search, and it popped right up like, oh, would you like to add yourself to search? Here you go. Click, click, click. It required me to verify my phone number. It sent me a code because I said, oh yeah, this is my phone number. It sent me the code. I entered the code. It's like, okay, great. I didn't end up creating the people card because it failed at the end. I think it may have failed because it knew I was on VPN somehow at the verification stage, but it was really easy to fill out. And it had a lot of information you could choose to add, home experience, work experience, address, phone number. If you're a business, I think this would be really good for you. It's sometimes being described as maybe a competitor for LinkedIn. I think it's for people who are like, yeah, LinkedIn's too much. I just want to have, you know, I'm a consultant or I'm a freelancer or I'm a small business. I just want to have my information out there. Here's an easy way for me to get it out there. I wonder how much it really helps, because if people aren't searching for you anyway, this isn't going to solve that.
But if they are, and it's kind of like, you know, I've done this before where there's a person and I'm just kind of verifying, oh, is this the lawyer person with this name or is it some other person? You know, and kind of do a Google search and just sort of see what comes up. If something that was specifically about the person in question and there was some information, because maybe I did want a phone number, you know, or an address or a PO box or more information about that person's website, then I can see this being a quick search. You're already in Google anyway. And yeah, you mentioned LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn works really well for people who use the platform, but it requires some upkeep and there's a lot of social interaction. And it's also not just in search where you were already.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and I'm curious how it does in India, how it takes off. It's, you know, this is a thing that apparently, according to Google anyway, people have been requesting and people have been asking for. So any Indian listeners out there, let us know if you try this out, how it works for you.
I love it when new features are introduced. Like, people have been wanting this, okay? That's why we made it. John Deere subsidiary Blue River Technology published a post Friday about its See and Spray computer vision product. The software uses a database of plant imagery to train a computer vision system on the open source PyTorch machine learning platform to identify weeds between crops and only spray those with herbicide. This could reduce the amount of herbicide used by up to 90% and also keep unwanted chemicals off the crops that we end up eating. The system is aimed for use in cotton and soybeans. Protocol.com spoke with Blue River's director of computer vision, Chris Padwick, about the project. So if you'd like to read more, that would be a good place to go. Padwick mentions they use NVIDIA cards in the tractors through eventual 5G or Starlink rollout could make a cloud system possible as well that would allow for more power and faster updates to the model.
Yeah, this is a fascinating read, folks. If you're one of those people who've been like, what's 5G going to do for me? It could make your t-shirt cheaper. It could make your tofu cheaper. This is really interesting. The use of NVIDIA cards in the tractors, the speculation that they had with Padwick about, like, well, could you do a cloud service? service, and he sort of entertained it. He's like, well, you know, I'm really interested in Starlink because that could give us some rural connectivity. 5G might be there, but it's going to take a while for it to get out into rural areas that we need it to. But he's like, once we did have a cloud system, then yeah, we could actually do a lot more data collection. He was more excited about the data collection than powering the actual tractors from the cloud, because you could do real time collection and updating as conditions change and stuff. It was also the other interesting thing in this article was how computer vision had a challenge in training, because we're really good at telling a cat from a dog and being able to label stuff for a machine learning algorithm to be like, that's a cat, that's a dog. It takes specialists to be able to tell velvet leaf from soybean, right? Like, most people won't be able to look at it and tell you which is which. So you need agronomists. You need people who know this easily to be able to, at scale, go and label this stuff for computer vision. So if you want some good examples of, you know, what is AI, quote unquote, writ large good for, this is a great example.
You said it all, man.
I try. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. While TikTok is under the gun from the Indian and U.S. governments, and as of today, the French, who have started a data handling probe of TikTok, Instagram Reels is out there hoping to steal TikTok's thunder. And it may be working. Business Insider reports it has talked to people who claim to have sold enough fake views on Reels to pay for, quote, a good car and a decent home. They didn't say where, but still, that's a lot. While we don't condone using a botnet to pump up your view count on any platform, the arrival and success of scammers is certainly one sign that a platform is viable. Like, if you can make money selling fake views to people, there must be people who are valuing that platform. However, is it good for law-abiding people as well? Lamar, you've been trying it out since the launch on August 5th. What do you think of Reels so far?
I have been trying it out, and you know, let's be real, it is real. Okay, sorry. it is a knockoff TikTok. However, for someone like me who didn't really have a big TikTok showing or viewership, you know, I never promoted it, to have something like that in my Instagram with already reviewers, it took off. It came out 6 days ago. I've done 11 so far, and some of it is are things I put on TikTok, but some of it has been original content, you know, little memes and things I come up with. And I've been having a ball. Almost all of them are getting 50,000 views or higher. It's not so much the views. It's getting a new audience that had no idea who I was before to see what I do. So it's been I look at Reels as a silly side of Instagram, as if Instagram wasn't already silly. so it's just a sillier side that, you know, none of that content means anything. You just throw it up to be funny. And then you got the other parts. I want to be more serious with IGTV. I can, or stories if I want to vlog. So it's to me, it's completed the app. And I know Instagram is literally ripped off from everyone, from Snapchat, from YouTube to now TikTok. But it's worked. I think it's going to be a success. It you know, it's not going to be a TikTok replacement right now, unless they close, then it's the closest thing to it. But it's great. I'm having so much fun with it right now.
You know, every time Instagram, well, at this point, I don't actually feel that way anymore. But it used to be that when Instagram would rip off something super blatantly, Snapchat, great example, I was like, no, yeah, this is so stupid. Like, how do they sleep at night? You know, they ripped up every single feature. It even looks the same. Mm-hmm. I'm not using this. I already have a network for this. Well, I was often alone in those thoughts, because people are like, well, no, I don't care about that other service that I wasn't using anyway, but I like what I'm seeing in Instagram now, and I was already here. I mean, people like to hang out in one app and do a lot of things. They just do. And yeah. I'm sort of changing my tune now, because I feel the same way, where I'm like, but TikTok I love so much, and that's its own thing. Instagram is a very different place to me. You know, it's a lot more sort of beauty shots and life is so great. But it, like you mentioned, the silly aspect of it, and I mean, there's plenty of silly stuff on Instagram, but introducing more of that and allowing people to be creative in ways that it was never really known for, it's an interesting concept, and I wonder how many people will adopt it.
I think, Lamar, one of the things that you mentioned, and Sarah, you kind of back this up, is that the advantage Instagram has, and it's an interesting thing because Facebook, the parent company of Instagram, doesn't seem to be able to do this, but Instagram does, is take an imitation and work it into their existing user base so that people adopt it. Stories didn't torpedo Snapchat. It just got a bunch of people who might not have ever used Snapchat to start using Snapchat like functionality. And exactly. That's what you're describing is not that you never use TikTok, but you're like, man, I'd have to work really hard to build up an audience on TikTok. I already have an audience on Instagram. So Reels makes sense because I can just use it.
Yeah. And I know YouTube is going to try to do their own thing, but that's, I don't, YouTube is like your granddad, you know, for them to try to come up with a service like that is like, nah, because they have stories. They have stories there. And no one uses it.
Well,
so.
I think that's a good question that some people may have. What is the difference between a story on Instagram, which is essentially Snapchat, right? It's a short video, and Reels, which is also a short video.
Well, it goes, stories are go away after 24 hours.
Ephemeral.
So.
Yeah.
Reels, yeah. Ephemeral. I'll try to come up with the word. Thank you. The ephemeral. So, which I wish tweets were, but that's another story. So, but yeah, so they go away, and Reels are very loopy. They're designed to be edited differently, and they stay on until you delete them, which most people, I don't think they're going to delete them. So.
Right,
and it's more meme-y stuff.
It's very meme-y,
as in meme-like things. Mm-hmm. TikTok has been so successful just with getting people to. We're all going to do something funny to the same song, and it's going to be like millions of people doing this. And there's like a really fun community aspect of it that, even though I'm totally an observer, I've never made one TikTok anything. I really enjoy that stuff, and Instagram has a huge user base. And so even if a small portion of, especially some of the creators with larger audiences, get a hold of this, then yeah, it wouldn't make sense to move over to TikTok unless you were already really, really popular there.
Really? I got that. make sure, a challenge to you, Sarah, by the end of this week, you're making a Reels. You are making one.
Okay. All right. Challenge accepted, Lamar.
All right.
And the challenge to the rest of the audience is to find the one reel I made.
Yeah. You made one?
I didn't know that. I did. Nobody's seen it. So you could be the first. Go check it out. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit, folks. Submit your stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. I just stole Sarah's read, so now she can have mine.
Tom? I would wait for you to tell me to check out the mailbag, but you know what? I'm just going to do it on my own. Regarding this is from Rick in Kingwood, Texas. Regarding malls and the story about Amazon possibly taking over anchor stores to be warehouses, we talked about this yesterday, anchor stores can veto changes, says Rick, and many of the leases to non-anchor tenants, those are the smaller stores kind of in the middle of the mall, have clauses that lower their rent when anchor store traffic goes down or leaves altogether. In Houston, the San Jacinto Mall redevelopment was held up for years because the anchor stores wouldn't agree to changes that the mall owner wanted to implement. If the empty anchor stores become distribution centers, then they don't bring any retail traffic to the mall, possibly triggering the other tenants' rent reduction or even closure.
Yeah, and so Rick suspected maybe Simon Mall, the folks that we talked about wanting to possibly give tenancy to Amazon for distribution centers, could be using that as a way to put pressure on other anchor stores to say, well, we could just hand your contract over to somebody else. The San Jacinto Mall, I looked into it. Those anchor stores had long-term restrictive contracts. And I think that was probably a lesson for a lot of mall owners too, not to give long-term restrictive contracts to people. So I wonder how many other malls would have to get an anchor tenant to agree to sell its contract to Amazon in order to hand this over. Cause that's what doomed that mall in Houston.
Real quick. When you say anchor, you mean like Montgomery Ward or JCPenney?
Yeah. JCPenney, Sears.
I'm so sorry. I mentioned Montgomery Ward. They do not exist anymore. I just thought about
Sticks
that.
Baron Fuller. Yeah.
The Emporium. Hey, shout out to patrons at our master and grandmaster levels, including Tony Glass, Jeffrey Zooks, and Steve Iadarola. Also, thanks to Lamar Wilson for being with us today. Always a pleasure. Can't wait to see all your reels. What else you got going on?
Yeah, so I'm doing a lot of content on Reels, as you mentioned, IGTV. But I'm also porting some of the IGTV content over to YouTube. So you can check me out on youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. Right now, I got a reaction series going on where I literally just reacted to the Halo Infinite thing. And yesterday, she's not on YouTube yet, but tomorrow it'll be on YouTube. I'm going to react to a $300 toaster and why that exists.
That's yes. Pricey
a toaster. A smart toaster with a screen on it. Yeah. Like, why does that exist? So check me out on my YouTube. Appreciate it.
YouTube.com/Lamar Wilson. There's two R's in all the best names, including Lamar at YouTube.com/Lamar Wilson. Hey, folks, we are in the process of putting some new stuff in the store. So you might want to go keep an eye out over there. We've got hoodies. We've got hats. We've got mugs. We've got masks. It's all there. It's got a DTNS logo on it. And you could be like Zoe Brings Bacon and just cover yourself in DTNS logos. Go check it out. DailyTechNewsShow.com/store.
And if you've got an email that you're just waiting to write us, now's the time. Feedback@DailyTechNewsShow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at DailyTechNewsShow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
That just reminded me, Lamar, you had said something about logos. You had asked me if logos are all right on the video, and then I was expecting you to come in looking like a NASCAR car.
Yeah. I was going to wear my Spider-Man hat.
That would have been fine.
Yeah, and I forgot. I grabbed the wrong hat. I was like, oh, because I have red on today. I was like, oh, the Spider-Man hat would be nice.
Aww.
You know, but you being a secret character in the next DC universe thing, I don't want to, you know, have a conflict of interest there. So
wait, there's a Spider-Man crossover into the DC universe?
No. Tom has a DC universe secret show. Then see,
yeah.
He's Grandpa Flash.
He's the Flush.
I'm so fast.
Grandpa Flash.
Especially after he eats that bowl of chili.
Grandmaster Grandpa Flash.
Hey, let's pick some titles, shall we? Sorry about stealing your line, Sarah.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I know you didn't care, but I was like, oh, I'm reading a line that's not mine.
I'm still reeling.
Ha!
This injustice. Let's go
DTNS.showbot.tv, and we have Feels Like CES, although most of the show really didn't, just the quick hits, I guess. Video production for Reels. This show is confidential. It'll make
5G
your tofu cheaper.
In the crop circles.
Become really popular.
Oh, all the real puns.
Halo, goodbye.
Oh, I love the Amazon sucks.
What about Instagram is for Reels?
We kind of made that joke last week, though.
Yeah, we kind of.
I think you all did. Yeah. Yeah, you did, because I mentioned
because
it.
Because Lamar was like,
What about business cards for humanity?
Cards against humanity. Mm-hmm. Your business cards for humanity. Spray on computers. Yeah, the spray on thing, the brand name is a little weird for that agricultural product. From saving lives to annoying podcasters.
Russia vaccine approves you. We can't say that.
Russia vaccine approves you.
It'll make your tofu cheaper, possibly.
I like this show is confidential. That's funny.
That's a good one.
You want to do that?
You want to do that one?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Beatmaster. Because, yeah, we did say the contents of that email. So now the entire show is on to GDI titles, including We're Still on Vegetables, Good Day Pies, Claim Jumpers Jump on Claims, Raccoons Are for Life.
A show without merit. Oh, that's funny. I mean, I know why, but yeah, you did eventually come back though. So
yeah.
It's also suggested anytime Tom walks away for 2 seconds or is off the show or on vacation.
What
but we love spot? It. If you didn't do it, I'd wonder why.
There's pie fight. Pie Flash around. Hat. Cornbread or square.
I like what to do with squash.
Pepper pie.
Is that over-promising, though?
Right, because I was just like, it's good. That's what you do.
You eat it. You cook it and you eat it.
I like good day pies.
Which one do you like, Lamar?
The top one, the good day pies. Good day pies. It sounds great. But, you know,
we haven't done that one before, have we? I don't think we have.
I don't know. We occasionally will do a pie joke, but I feel it's appropriate given the fact that this group likes pies.
Yeah. All right, JSC.
Everyone likes pies.
JSC315. You win today's good day or day title. Good day.
Did you all talk yesterday about Twitch Prime changing to Prime
Gaming? We mentioned it.
You did? Okay. I'll just.
Yeah. Just like, okay. That's sounds like something Amazon would do. Yeah.
Prime everything. Prime underwear.
Optimus Prime.
Hey, speaking of which, have you seen the Netflix series?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to listen to Optimus Prime without Peter Cullen's voice.
Why do people do that? It sounds you all and your voice actors that you got to have a certain person after 50 years. Come on. It sounds great.
Try something new.
All thought of you was like, it's a little weird.
I know. I purposely wanted. I was playing with it.
I was trying to provoke Roger.
I thought it was okay. Part of it was I was hoping there'd be more story, but they kind of stretched it out for the length of the series. Yeah, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a trilogy, so I think the second one's going to be jam packed because they're wherever they went. Oh, sorry, I don't want to spoil. Their adventure is, it's going to be amazing.
You've seen the previous two series, the ones done by Machinima. You've seen that?
I have not, because they were on like Verizon 90 or something like that.
They were on like Go. Yeah, they were Go 90. They were free to watch for anyone if you had a web browser. But okay. Yeah, that it explained. These all tie in with the toy line, which is Cybertron Siege right now. But before it was the Titans Return, and then before that it was the Combiner Wars.
Wait, cartoons and toys are to wait. What?
Well, no. But like all these are these are all tied directly. Like so, they can basically sell you more toys.
Gotcha.
Listen, it's based on a toy line to sell more toys.
To sell more toys.
People who buy them are all my age. Right? You're not having some guy who grew up on Yu-Gi-Oh, you know, plop down $40.
This
Yu-Gi-Oh's even old.
That's what I'm saying. Like someone who's in their 30s would not be spending. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the hot cartoon for kids today?
I feel like I should. SpongeBob? That's
not a thing. No,
SpongeBob is old man stuff now.
Yeah. No, they won't stop making them. So
even My Little Ponies is like at least 15 minions years older than my daughter.
No one discusses My Little Ponies, first of all. So no one discusses. Yeah, what is the Steven Universe is a really popular one, but
Teen Titans.
That's like Teen Titans. See, but those are all Teen at least Titans 5-6 years old. So I don't know.
Yeah, but they're still hot though.
They're recent.
Yeah, I don't know what the new hot. That's a good question. What is the
the new hotness is? I don't know.
Thundercats Go.
The thing, like the only Peppa cartoon Pig. I regularly watch is Rick and Morty. And Peppa that's Pig. Only, that's aimed at adults.
Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig. Really?
That's okay. A kid show. Huge. My daughter likes it.
We're asking about kid shows.
Oh, I know.
What's the most popular cartoon for kids? I suggest Peppa Pig, and Roger's like, "Nah, that's a kid show."
That's kids. That's kids stuff. Tawee tawoo, tawee tawoo. That's how they say when an owl, instead of saying hoot, they say.
I actually like The Loud House. I've never seen JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, although an adult friend of mine is watching it and tweeting about it on Twitter. So I don't know if that's a.
It's an anime.
Yeah. I guess Peppa Pig's a little too young. Is that what you were meaning
Yeah, well,
to say?
So the whole thing is like the concept of after school cartoons, like in the afternoon, and Saturday morning cartoons no longer exist. In that, you know, those time blocks. So I don't
know. Avatar The Last Airbender kind of fits in that.
Yeah, but Avatar The Last Airbender was popular back in the 08, 07.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's
and then that amazing movie that came after it, too. It was like one of the
live action one that everyone
That everyone loved.
Everyone. Hey, look, let's just put this other guy in. Have you seen the Dragon Ball Z live action movie? If you want to see something that makes your eyes
blue. I refuse to watch that.
If you want something that gets your fanboyism up in a tizzy, that's the movie.
Is Minecraft and Fall Guy and Roblox, are those replacing the after school cartoon in the hearts of children?
That's very arguably Fall Guys, I feel like is a more I've seen more adults play, but I know that no kids play it, but like that's definitely an adult. But
well, definitely Minecraft or Roblox.
It's weird because we're now at an inflection point where TV no longer is the dominant electronic media that gets consumed. And
you don't have to run home at 2:30 and catch a 3 p.m. cartoon. It's on demand now.
It's on demand, and then you get most of the references from your peers. So if they talk about it. So right now, my kid loves not JoJo Siwa. She used to be on Dance Moms, and she grew up, and now she's like uber minted. And all she does is these YouTube videos from her palatial home.
Oh yeah, maybe it's the YouTube. You know, it's the YouTube.
There's also a lot of
what's
TikTok.
The guy who wears all the orange stuff?
Oh, Blippi.
Blippi, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he moved to Silver Lake.
But that's,
he moved
that's
to Silver Lake a year ago.
But that's like
go find him.
You know, Gavin McLeod just sold his Palm Springs house too.
Should I buy it?
No, it's already sold. Too late. Blippi's too young for what I'm talking about either, though. But this makes me think, okay, so if we are witnessing the change of like, hey, you know, the modern child doesn't care as much about cartoons, not that they've stopped watching them, but, you know, games are the new thing. This happened to children's books. Think about like the great children's book franchises. They're all from like the 50s or earlier. They got replaced by cartoons.
Although I would say Harry Potter is probably the most recent one, right? No, or is that not children's? Young adult.
It's not exactly what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of like Winnie the Pooh and
Rabbit and
stuff. Harry Potter's a little older, but that's a good point. Harry Potter definitely bucked the trend.
Artemis Fowl, the one that's getting a movie release
pretty big.
And so is Percy and the one they did a movie with.
A series, not hey, stop answering me, phone.
Well,
I said a series, and my phone's like, "Yes, what do you need?"
Yeah, like if I were to write a young adult series of novels that featured either magical powers or aliens, or or would it just be a normal like what was the Babysitter's Club that was kind of big?
There's still a limit. Like Harry Potter, Artemis Fowl, those are all young adult, maybe 10 and up. There's not like the Winnie the Pooh, Velveteen Rabbit, Beatrix Potter, Wind in the Willows.
Oh, you know, the ones that, Wind in the Willows. Is Watership Down considered a kid's book? It was pretty bad.
I mean, it's the saddest one.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of children's stories were pretty depressing.
I mean, too sad. You know,
Old Yellow, the cartoon, right?
That's yeah, cool. hilarious cartoon, Old Yellow.
Well, it had a reboot in the 80s where it became part of a anti-alien task force.
Old Yeller did?
Yeah, it's a joke. That's the thing they did. They rebooted a bunch of like pulp.
Did you hear they're doing a dark reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Actually, I heard they were redoing it. I didn't know drama. It was dark.
Yeah.
Like a dark
Riverdale
comedy?
Dark?
No, it's like a drama.
They said drama. Yeah, they didn't say comedy. It's like drama,
drama, and it's from Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith from their production company.
I did not. Awesome I had not heard this. Creepy.
And not creepy in a like entertaining way, but like this is creepy.
Well it'll get a lot of attention, whether it's good or not, at first, just because it was such a popular show.
A reimagined vision will dive deeper into the inherent conflicts, emotions, and biases of what it means to be a black man in America today, while still delivering the swagger and fun nods to the original show.
So, Blackish?
I think it's supposed to be more serious than Blackish.
Blackish is a comedy. I mean,
Blackish definitely gets serious, right? Yeah, get what you're saying.
So are you saying they would flip it around where it would be serious a higher percentage of the time?
Blackish is a fun show that gets serious. This is a serious show which occasionally might have a fun nod.
I want to see the HBO one, the Lovecraft.
I'm very interested in that show. I got asked to do an early screening, but I have a brand I'm working with as conflict of interest, so I couldn't. I didn't accept it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching.
I've always been weirded out but intrigued by the whole Cthulhu mythology and the whole kind of writer circle that coupled everything together.
Did you read the books?
I tried to, but I mean, if you read the original, there's a lot of things in there that are kind of disturbing, and I don't mean just from the super. It's not even supernatural, I guess. Maybe it is supernatural, but
it is a little.
There's a lot of allusions, and H.P. Lovecraft was like a huge bigot. So,
oh, gotcha.
Wait, I think I missed something. You guys talking about Lovecraft Country now?
Yeah. I read the book. Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah, we read it for Sword and Laser. Really good.
I thought you meant H, like the original, like
did,
H.P.
Lovecraft. Did you see if this going to be a one-to-one to the book, or
I don't kind of know. Veronica got to see an early release of the show before it comes out this Sunday, and she said it was just gorgeous. And as a fan of the book, she liked it. But of course, that's just one episode, right? So
yeah.
So they didn't give her the pilot.
They didn't give her three episodes. They offered me three episodes. They didn't give her three.
I don't know. It was a live streaming event thing. It wasn't a pre-release.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did they give?
I was supposed to watch it with her, and I forgot. Now she's.
Did
mad
they
at
give
me.
Out? She's given out free calendar.
Yeah, the Lovecraft Country isn't really about H.P. Lovecraft so much. It's basically saying that world that he created with the monsters is the threat, right? And it represents racism in that story, and then they try to escape it. Set in the '50s, really good.
Okay.
Now I want to do a dramatic reading of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song.
Okay.
What we need Morgan Freeman to do it. You know, like a real serious reading.
That's you. Let's go.
I am not Morgan Freeman.
But I guess the plot's the same, right? He has to move from Philly out to
now. Bel-Air. This is a story all about how my life got twisted and turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute to sit right there. And I'm going to tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Perfect.
All right. Voice acting people who are listening, hire
ladies
me.
Ladies and gentlemen, sign him up.
What if they start out with a young, like a young voice, and it gets progressively older as he finishes the read?
Because Bel-Air ages a person.
Life ages a person. I'll give you that.
Yeah,
Bel-Air,
it does.
No,
two kids will tack on 10 years to whatever age you're at.
If I had two kids, I don't know.
Two kids and a microphone? That's what I have.
I don't know. Life seems pretty busy.
Life comes at you fast.
It does. I admire anybody who's just like, yeah, I've got kids. I don't sleep anymore. I'm like, how do you do it?
You know,
how do you do it?
Occasionally, my daughter will come and cry, and she sleeps with me, and I don't get any sleep for 2 hours.
I don't get any sleep now, so I can't even.
I know. I'm like, it's so hard to sleep. Yeah. one more thing that introduces no sleep is.
Sleep.
I don't know.
See, you have pets, and that's what my fear is. If I get a pet, it's not gonna let me sleep. So that's gonna be worse.
Do they still make Tamagotchis?
Pet lobster. No,
why would I get a Tamagotchi?
A pet lobster. It's real quiet, as long as you don't put it in boiling water.
Oh
yeah.
Jeez.
Or you could get like a
as long as you don't kill it.
Yeah. We get a red lobster. We had a great time.
No, Lamar, you're right.
You pick out your lobster from the tank, and then you say, no, don't cook it. I'll have it to go as is. I would like it to be my pet now.
And that's your friend for life.
Free the lobsters.
He'll take care of all your garbage. He'll eat all your garbage and make sure everything's clean.
Right.
Feed him whatever fish leftovers you have, like cod fingers or something.
Lamar, not to scare you off from getting a pet because they're wonderful things, but it it definitely is a commitment of its own sort. I sometimes get that, like, if somebody asks me to do something and it's a little last minute, you know, spontaneous, I'm sort of like, ooh, I don't know what I'm going to do with Otis. Like, is Otis okay in your backyard? You know, and people sort of look at me like, I mean, really? Is it that hard? It's like, sometimes, yeah, you have to plan these things.
See, that's why I'm more of a, well, because I grew up with them, I'm more of a cat person. Like, two cats would be great for me because they would take care of each other and leave me alone. But two dogs would be opposite.
It's
like having a baby for 18. How are dogs live? It's like having a baby for that long. Like, they don't grow up. You have to take care of every need.
Yeah, they don't learn to, like, serve themselves.
Yeah,
take walks alone.
I was lied to. What is
wrong? Yeah,
they don't get jobs. They don't become Hollywood stars.
No.
They don't find Timmy in a well. None of it.
Every time I leave, they think I'm leaving forever.
I put a cape on them. They don't fly anywhere.
Well, it's because you're supposed to put wings. Wings.
That's not what the cartoons I watched growing up told me.
Cartoons taught me a lot of
things.
They
said all I needed to do was to leave the house and they would sneak into the locker cabinet and become a superhero.
Yeah, isn't it that life?
I mean,
of
they
pets?
Might be doing it. They're just really good at hiding it from you, so that you don't realize it's your dogs. True.
Yeah,
Life of Pets was excellent. It's like, if my pets did that, I'd leave them alone all the time. It'd be great. Go on.
My dog is—he's not a superhero. He's very sweet, but
he doesn't live a life.
He's more of a giant infant than a
Otis,
superhero.
Otis, don't be a hero.
Yeah. He says, "Okay, I'll continue napping."
Easy. I'll keep going.
There was something. Was something about to attack you? I thought it was like a bee or something right there.
Just now? Oh, because I looked over.
The way, because you kind of did this little back thing, like, what's that coming at me?
Oh, really?
Yeah, you did.
You know what it is? Okay, so this is weird, but these very cheap CVS bifocals, well, readers, whatever they are that I'm wearing, they sometimes will like catch the light weird on the edge, and I think there's something there. So I bet that's what I did. And I do it so often that I don't even realize
that
it's become a body tick.
I got it.
Happens all the time. It's so weird. Like, I sit at this one place in my apartment upstairs, and there's like a corner of windows, and I'll be, you know, at my laptop, and I will look up because it looks like there's someone there that isn't supposed to be there. So, you know, I blame the readers, but there's probably
unless your readers can see other unless they can see other dimensions.
What's that?
Unless your readers can see other dimensions, and maybe you are saying.
And I'm kind of going, I'm going into another dimension. You know, I always thought I was special, so maybe this is just the proof that I needed.
You are. This is it.
I'm special, but just in a very different way.
Just need them to figure out my contacts, and I never have to wear these again. That's all I need. Just do it. Just be medical professionals.
Just do it.
I'd be terrified of laser. I wouldn't.
LASIK?
I know it's. I'm terrified of the idea.
I went through the process. I almost got it, but the company backed out. But originally, they had to test my corneal density. So they get this machine and they crank open your eye and they put a needle in it.
Yo, that gave me a gross chill. See,
that's right there is the reason.
I don't think I'm a candidate. I know a lot of people who've had it and they were like, that was really easy. Now I can see. Why didn't I do this a long time ago? But
yeah, my grandma just did it.
It doesn't sound like what my issue is. I forget what it's called, but it's something
stigmatism?
Really common. No, it's just something that happens like mid 40s. Lots of people just
your eyes aren't real.
Seeing up close.
Oh no, that's so. there's a membrane around your eye or lenses that contract it that refocus it. As you get older, that membrane gets stiffer, so it makes it really hard for your eyes to refocus.
Your membranes get stiffer as you get older.
Well, that particular one affects you. That's why you hold things farther away to read tiny text.
I wake up every morning, all my membranes are stiff.
It's some people, everyone gets it. It's just a facet of old age.
Yeah, I just, older age. It kind of just happened to me somewhat quickly after having pretty 20/20 vision always.
Same thing happened to me. Like I was 42 before I ever went to the eye doctor. Like I went when I was 16 because I had to for my driver's license. Then I didn't go back till I was like, I have to keep holding this book farther away. And then so I went to an eye doctor and they're like, you haven't to the eye doctor since Reagan? I'm like, yeah.
I haven't been in 15 years at least.
I'm scared.
I just was like, I don't know why I would. I'm fine.
Once they get my bionic eyes set, I'm going to be like Geordi on the next generation, and I can see all sorts of cool
things. And you should go to the eye doctor regularly to, you know, test for things like glaucoma and all that stuff. So it's a bad idea. We're not role models.
It's terrible advice. I just was hoping that I was just going to have perfect eyesight forever. It eventually.
And now I have to go every year. And every year they tell me it gets worse. And I'm like, I used to have 20/10.
I'll say this, Lamar. I had a coworker who got LASIK. And she said it was great for a while, but she still ended up, when she hit 40, she ended up still needing reading glasses.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm betting on stem cells. Stem cells are going to fix it.
Bionic eye. I'll be like...
You know what's funny is I put up one of the Tech Republic top 5 videos that I do on Twitter, and somebody was like, I don't believe that's you. You're not wearing your glasses. And I realized, like, oh my gosh, I remember when I started wearing the glasses and people said the opposite. I don't believe it's you. You're wearing glasses. I've been wearing the glasses for a long time.
You do that so the light doesn't reflect off your glasses, right? That's why you...
Yeah, the glare. Yeah, because you see it here. You get a little glare. And because I'm reading at a distance off the prompter, I mean, because I'm making it up all off the top of my head, I don't need the glasses.
Tom is able to freestyle very well.
And you got that really nice background that's so realistic, too. It's like, I mean, it's like, it's, you know.
Yeah. Everybody makes fun of it. They're like, this is a green screen. This is real. That actually is a, no, I mean, total. That also is real. So,
made of the finest cloth.
To sum up, my tomato was good, but maybe a little disappointing.
Well, you know, it was just the first tomato. Okay.
Yeah.
You've got some season left.
Yeah, there's some bigger ones on there that are still green.
Yeah.
Still
red, yeah. Not all tomatoes are created equal.
Nothing is stealing them? You have wire around them or something?
No, I got dogs patrolling. Keeping
okay.
up. No, I'm surprised. Yeah, nothing has gotten in there and stolen them, but I've been picking them pretty quick, but when they turn red too. But yeah, I mean, critters will eat green ones, but so far so good. Knock on wood.
Okay.
Knock on wood.
All right. Hey, thanks to everybody in our Twitch channel who supports with Prime. Nate Langston was in Discord yesterday. I was like, I don't know what supporting with Prime means. And now he's not there. So now I'm going to explain it because I'm backwards that way. Supporting with Prime means if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can actually apply some of your Amazon Prime credit to what is now called Prime Gaming on Twitch and subscribe to our channel, which means we'll get money, but you won't pay any extra money because you're already paying for Prime. So you can do a search to figure out how that happens, but that's what people do. And thank you for the free money, Jixim Beta, subscribing with Prime today. Ambassador Domo, 3 months with Prime. Also, Montana Steve T, subscribed for 8 months with Prime. Thank you all. Lion Jim Video and Zoe Brings Bacon gave us some bits today as well. You guys are great. And thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon, which is honestly the thing that actually keeps food in our mouths and the mouths of Roger's children. So keep that coming in as well. Patreon.com/DTNS. Until then, have a good day.
Have a good day. And have a
good day.